Today I want us to take the story of Stephen. We're just going to actually look at just six verses. That means that you probably need to go back sometime this afternoon and read the much greater story in the Acts of the Apostles. It's one of those good stories. Good news, bad news, all at the same time. And so let's go back in and spend just a little bit of time with it today. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today I want us to talk about and to be thinking about in times of crisis. Because crisis seems to be all around us almost all of the time. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about armed conflict or terrorist bombs, man-made disasters, natural disasters, family crisis. I mean, we only have to begin to think of some of the situations that are part of our own lives. And at times it seems like even worse when it's happening to the life of our children. Crisis seems almost to be built in our lives. Stephen's an outsider. I mean, even his name tells us he's not like us. He's one of those new people in town. You know, he's a Greek Jew. You know about those Greeks. Always trying to change things. Always trying to make things like they were back home. Now, those people are complaining about the church not taking care of the widows. And Peter says, name seven people to look out for everybody. Stephen's one of the seven. Serves him right, doesn't it? Now he has to serve all of those little old ladies. But from day one, Stephen knew that his new job was more than just serving others. It was more than just making sure that a meal was taken. He knew that a part of his life from that day forward was in the sharing of the good news of God's love through Jesus. And it was that sharing of the good news that's going to get him in trouble with the temple leaders. Do you realize Stephen is charged with exactly the same thing that Jesus was charged with? Blasphemy against God, against the temple. And now he stands before the Sanhedrin, and he tells them the story of Abraham leaving home to go to the promised land. And then he continues the story as he talks about Moses and all the problems that were faced within the Jewish community in their time of exile. And then he spoke of Solomon building a home for God. And then to add just a little fire to the fury, he reminds everybody, but our God is the God who doesn't reside in homes, who doesn't reside in temples. But as if that wasn't enough, just go back and look at verses 51 through 53. You stiff-necked people. And then he goes on to tell them, you've killed every prophet that God's ever sent to us. I don't know about you, but I think by this time, Stephen has probably reached a crisis moment in his living. So the question becomes, how are you and I to thrive during the time of crisis? How can we flourish in the midst of crisis? Lin Sweet reminds us that the Chinese character for crisis is that combination of danger and opportunity. Now, in Hebrew, the word is actually mashbar, and that's the word that's also used not only for crisis, but it's also the word for a birth stool. Now, I don't know about you, but I had no idea when they first told me a birth stool what in the world they were talking about. So I had to look it up. And a birth stool is literally that stool, that seat that a woman would sit upon as she gave birth in that time. So what we're beginning to see in times of crisis, one needs to consider creativity and imagination. We see this moment as that stool to birth, to build relationships with God, with people, with ideas. Keith Miller was a highly successful insurance salesman, but he wrote in his book, The Taste of New Wine, how one afternoon it finally hit him so strong that he literally had to pull his car right off to the side of the road, and he had to do what he knew that he had to do. Charles gave us a hint of it this morning. He gave his life to Jesus. He pledged to God that from now on he would do whatever he felt God was directing him to do. Keith said he had been miserable for quite a while. I mean, he'd been successful in everything outwardly that he ever tried to do in his life. He was a wonderful insurance person. He had a wonderful family. But he realized he was missing something in his life. And he realized that what he was missing was the very joy that Jesus had promised him and had promised us. And even though Miller couldn't articulate or even understand for quite a while what had happened to him as he pulled off the side of the road, he knew this. I had made a personal contact with the very meaning of life. And now I know what God wants from me. God wants our will, our love. So folks, key number one in having success and existing in the midst of crisis, key number one, begin by giving ourselves to Jesus. Start there. I can promise you, you are never going to find the peace that you're looking for. You can never find the strength that you need to get through a crisis until you and I give ourselves the whole of our heart, our body, our mind, our strength to him. So key number one, begin by giving ourselves to Jesus. Then in verse 55, we hear, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Folks, that tells me what key number two is right there. Keep our eyes on Jesus. You remember Peter and some of the other disciples in the boat as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee? I don't know about you, but I've always loved sailing. I'm a sailboat fanatic who probably fortunately right now does not have a sailboat. But I always remember taking the boat up and sailing and or racing on the Chesapeake Bay. And the thing I always found out about the Chesapeake was, you better keep your eyes open. Because a storm can blow up faster than you can ever handle it. You've got to be aware. You've got to be awake. Because more than once, I suddenly look up, and what was no wind, suddenly I'm seeing huge white caps coming down the bay. Peter and the disciples had that storm that day. And to put it mildly, as they sat there in that boat, as they were trying to do everything they knew as fishermen, as boat people, I can tell you simply, they're scared. But then off in the distance, they see something. And what they look at, it looks almost like there's a ghost coming at them. And suddenly Peter realizes that that ghost coming at them is in fact Jesus. And then impetuous Peter that he is, says, "Jesus, if that's really you, call me out there too." And the next thing Peter knows, he finds himself out of the boat. And he's right there walking on the water. And that's when the reality of life hits Peter. He's suddenly aware of all those waves right around him. He's suddenly aware of all that wind that's blowing in and around him. And he's aware that it's crazy to be outside of a good boat in the middle of a storm. And as soon as he becomes aware of all of that going on around him, you know what happened to him, don't you? And he began to sink. You know, when the storms of life are raging all around us, it's easy to begin to look at the wind and the waves and how they're affecting our lives. I was eating with a friend not long ago, and he said, life is 5% what happens to us, and 95% how we respond to it. The way we respond to it in crisis is enriched when, number one, we've given ourselves to Jesus, and number two, when we're keeping our eyes upon Jesus throughout the crisis. But then number three comes out of verse 59. Verse 59 states, "And as they were stoning him, he prayed." Wow. "And as they were stoning him, he prayed." In the midst of all of our problems, in the midst of all the situations that touch our lives, that put us into crisis, in the midst of all of them, key number three is keep lines of communication open with the only one who can actually help. There are all types of problems. There are all types of crises that are going to come into our lives. Regardless of whether we want to admit it or not, some of them are things that you and I caused. I did it. Some of them happened to us through no fault of our own. But the best thing that you and I can do is to keep the line of communication open with the one, with Jesus. He's the only one who can truly help us. So as we face crisis in our lives today, in the days to come, I hope we know the three best things that you and I can do that will help us stand firm in the midst of crisis. Give ourselves to Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And to keep those lines of communication open with him always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.